The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider.
Now listening to the Health Hero Show with Tim James.
What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here, founder of ChemicalFreeBody.com and your host for the show that simplifies and demystifies how to live an energetic life with a flat belly. So if you're into a healthy gut and staying young, then this is the show for you. What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of the Health Hero Show. Today in the house, I've got Brett Kaufman. We just met. We don't know how we found each other, but we found each other. It was a divine synchronicity that brought us together today for us to share. And to share Brett's his personal story, his message, what he's doing out there, and he's doing some good stuff. And I think you're going to find that out as you listen to him speak and share. And Brett, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be with you, Tim. I mean, as you said, neither of us could remember exactly how we connected, but that probably means it was meant to be. And I'm happy to share the time with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the only difference is that threw me off is like everything on your website that I've seen so far, you didn't have a beard. Now you got one. So how'd that happen?
Yeah, it happens sometimes, especially in the winter. I don't like to shave. So, it ends up looking like a beard.
That's awesome. All right. So where do you live at, bud?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Columbus, Ohio. What's it like? Did you grow up there?
I've lived here for most of my life. I lived in another part of Ohio. I was born in Miami, Florida, but Columbus has been my home for most of my life, other than going away to school. Came back here and have raised my family here, started my business here, and Columbus has been a great place to call home.
Oh, nice. So yeah. What got your parents to move from Miami?
Well, my mom and dad were married young, went to the University of Miami, started a life in Coral Gables, where my sister and I were born. My dad ended up relocating our family back to Akron, Ohio, where he was originally from, to work in a family business. Lived in Akron. Yeah, I lived in Akron till I was about 10 years old. My parents divorced, and my mom and my sister and I moved to Columbus, where she was from, where her family was.
So you didn't get a whole lot of beach time down there in Miami?
No. But, sort of spiritually, I've always felt connected to it. And it's been a place maybe I'll return to, or at least something like it. But other than just kind of a lot of back and forth, over the years, we really have called Ohio home for most of my life. Yeah.
The Coral Gables, that's an expensive zip code. That's a good place for some real estate investing nowadays.
It is today. It is today. Back then, it was a little more of a college town. But no doubt. Miami in general has become quite the expensive real estate. It's one of the few international cities that we truly have here in the United States.
Yeah. I was back there the year before, not last. How was it? It wasn't this New Year's, New Year's before that, coming into 2023. And I just happened to be, I was just helping this girl out. We went to this place called Hippocrates Wellness Center. It's in West Palm Beach. Okay. And this young girl, it's a real interesting story. She was ill, wasn't feeling well, didn't have the money, does a fundraiser, gets the money, goes to this place for a week. She raised enough money to go to this. It's a detox healing center. That's where I started my journey. And talking about synchronicities, and then she ends up winning the guest of the year in the last week of the year. Everybody voted that she was the one. So she got to come back March 1st for another free week. So boom. And then she runs into this woman that was there that was wealthy, and she bought her another week. So she gets to stay 2 weeks while she's there. And then she said, I got to go back home. And then the woman I think it was that same woman that gave her the money. She said, well, what are you doing? between now and March when you have to go to Hippocrates? And she's like, well, I'm gonna try to keep healing. She's like, well, could you fly, if I fly you to LA, would you stay at my house and watch my dog for me? I have to take a trip. And this woman was really into the lifestyle, and she had like a sprout growing operation in her house and all the stuff. And this gal was a chef. So she had all this stuff for this new raw living food lifestyle stuff. So she flies there. She gets to stay in this nice place, comes back and stays in Miami. Well, I end up taking her down to Miami because she didn't have a ride. And I was like, I was like, you don't have any money. She's like, yeah, I don't have any money. And I'm like, well, I got a rental car. I got nothing to do. I can drive you down there if you want. So I drove down to Miami Beach. I didn't even know that's where it was, and ended up dropping her off, and then up spending New Year's with her and her dad and her sister, walking on the beach. And there's a lot of freaking people down there, and it's not like you're even in the United States. You're right. It is an international melting pot of, I don't even think I saw that many Americans, to be honest with you.
It depends on where you are, but it's definitely truly an international city.
And hanging out with a couple Argentinian guys that night, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Yeah, it's a lot of
Okay,
fun there.
so Ohio, in Ohio, you come back, stay there. Now you got a family, right? Can you tell us about
I
that?
do. I do. Yeah, I've got three kids, three boys that are ages 18 to 22. And my wife Katie and I have raised our three boys here in Columbus. She's done most of the heavy lifting as a wonderful mother. But yeah, love my kids. I love being a dad. My family is truly the joy of my life, and that continues to be the case. Nothing probably more important to me than, trying to be the best father and husband that I can be.
Yeah, you look like you're pretty fit, which is awesome. Did you help your kids? Did you like coach them, their basketball teams and stuff like that?
When the kids were little, I was always, real active in coaching sports, but they got to a certain age where, that was really not my expertise. I was always kind of the coach that was trying to, focus on things that I thought were more important than winning. And you get to a certain point, and the kids and the teams, they want to win. So I was probably a better fan and father than coach, but I was always real active, in whatever they were doing.
So what were those things that you were teaching those children?
For me, I grew up, it's a funny thing, sports, especially with guys, at least, from my generation. I grew up where sports were really important. They were really important to my dad, and he was really more of a tough disciplinarian and really, sort of worked me to work really hard, harder than I really wanted to work, pushed me, pushed me, pushed me, and it was really about, hard work and winning. And I just didn't think that's actually what really mattered, and what I really wanted to focus on with my kids and their friends and teammates. Now, a lot of the other fathers probably didn't agree with that. It saw it maybe more like they saw, like my dad saw it. But I, just focused on teamwork and having fun and, learning and getting better and being good sports and being, respectful opponents, and really, tried to create an atmosphere that was both fun and really focused on the team. And look, I mean, these were like little kids, I mean, even I guess back to them, maybe they were 7, 8, 10, up to 12, 13 years old. It was always to me about having fun and, being together and learning and getting better.
Okay. So like that just resonated with you on the inside, and that actually resonated with me too. I remember when I was coaching Little League, and I watched this one coach. He was just so hard and pushing his son, and his son was probably one of the best players in the entire league. And his son was just pitching, and his son was just trying to hold it together, and tears are streaming down his face. And I'm like, this isn't what it's all about. You know what I mean? This was like it was too much. It was one of those years where it was like coach pitched the first half and then the kids pitched the second part. You know, it was like that transition. And it was probably a year too young. And coaches probably should have thrown, kept throwing, because half the kids would just strike out everybody, and the other half were throwing the balls all over, hitting kids and scaring them to hit. And we ended up in the championship game with this guy. And I actually, because we had to umpire too, as a coach, you had to be on the umpire circuit to cover umpires. I had to throw the guy out of a game. So him and I had a lot of tension. We go into the championship game, and I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, look, dude, here's the deal. I've already talked to our parents, and what we want to do is we're going to split up. Half your team's going to play with my team, and half my team's going to play with your team. We're going to have a scrimmage. You're going to play in the game. I'm going to play in the game. We're just going to have a big old ball of fun. Or we're going to leave and go have a pizza party, and you're the champions. What do you want to do?" He didn't even know what to do with himself. So we ended up doing it, and this guy ended up having a big smile on his face and had the best time. And it was the best championship game that I've ever been in my life, and I've been in some pretty good ones. Personally and everything. And it broke into his heart. And I think that he had been maybe just had the crap beat out of him by his dad or something. And I didn't have that perspective back then, but I knew what you were talking about, that it was more about the experience for the kids. It was about them having fun and having to grow and work together as a team. And there was nothing better than that experience and what happened. And that guy, I think that guy changed that day. I know it changed a lot of us.
I'm sure he did. And, you know, listen, you know, like you, I host a podcast, and, you know, my podcast, we really talk about the full life journey of a lot of successful people from different backgrounds. And one thing that's been pretty consistent with every guest I've had over the last, you know, few years is there's two paths that people usually, you know, had in their upbringing. One is sort of traumatic, and, you know, might be filled with all sorts of, you know, abuse or trauma in a variety of capacities on the spectrum. And the other is unconditional loving parents, you know, families that just love the hell out of them. And in both cases, I'm talking to people that land in a pretty good place. They've had a lot of success. They seem like they've processed a lot of the good and the bad and the other. And so in my case, you know, I had more of the traumatic, you know, early childhood. You know, I had the, you know, father that, you know, who was really tough, you know, an addict, abusive. And you know, he passed away in November, as we were talking before we started. And I had so much gratitude for all of it in the end. It was really, really a huge part of my path towards landing where I did, and I wouldn't change any of it. However, that was not the path that I wanted to put my kids on. That was not the path that I wanted to replicate as a father. I wanted to try to try the other option and really give my kids, my family, and everyone around me as much love as I possibly could, because that to me felt like it was a path that was more aligned with who I really am. So there's no, you know, it's a matter of, you know, what you do with it all, you know, but in the end, you know, I like I said, I've kind of chosen to take this, this path of just trying to love on everybody as much as I can.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I see this happening more and more. I think there's this whole, there's a lot of people in this societal conditioning, and then becomes parental conditioning, because the parents are all been groomed by their parents. And, you know, it's coming out of, like, you know, war, lots of war in the past and stuff. And today, when I look at war, I'm just thinking, why are we still doing this? I mean, come on. It's like, it's actually really silly. There's no point for no working. I've been all over the world. No working class people want to fight. They want to raise their kids, have a good time, vacation, go fishing, whatever they want to do. They want to do their thing. It's the people at the top that are screwing everything up. But what kind of, what was your dad addicted to?
Well, you know, my dad was, you know, what I would call like a pretty serial addict, but it was all things that in that time, in the, you know, kind of mid 70s and 80s, were pretty socially acceptable. So, you know, he was an alcoholic. He was a workaholic. He was a sex addict. You know, he was, you know, kind of, you know, constantly busy and traveling and just, you know, gambling. I mean, he kind of, you know, ran the gamut, you know, but It was sort of all, you know, stuff that the guys did. You know, they drank, they cheated, they gambled, they worked. You know, back then that was sort of not that uncommon. You know, he wasn't able to really, you know, maintain that either.
Yeah. And so you probably had, as a child, there was probably a lot of resistance there towards your father. And then as you got older, did you make peace with him earlier before he passed? How far before he passed, or when you were taking care of him, did you open up more then and with the compassion?
You know, fortunately, you know, my dad and I really started to make peace long before he passed. You know, what happened really was I never actually even sort of knew what I had been through was abnormal. You know, I didn't know. I just sort of thought this is kind of, it was just my life. And, but, you know, my dad's troubles, you know, after my parents got divorced, you know, continued to mount up. And ultimately it kind of got to a point where, you know, we weren't able to maintain our relationship for a period of time. And as I started to really do my own work and sort of wake up and see what had happened, and as I, you know, kind of stepped into adulthood and started to, you know, started my family and started to really look at, you know, the challenges of being a husband and father and making a living and all the societal conditioning, I started to kind of understand him a little bit better. And I started to process that all. And in doing that, we were able to talk about a lot of things. And it took time, you know, but we really spent, you know, the last, I don't know, 10 years of his life sort of processing a lot of things together and really connecting and bonding and having a, you know, a real love and appreciation for one another. And, you know, when he did start to deteriorate physically, and ultimately when he passed, there was really a sense of completion. You know, we had really talked about everything we needed to talk about and made peace with everything we needed to make peace with. And that really is what allowed me to land in this place of sincere gratitude for his life. You know, I think it really, really had to be an embodied experience that I had to really make the change generationally that, you know, I believe is what I'm here to do.
Yeah, and I think that's so important for the listeners out there, that if you have grievances, no matter how deep they are with your parents, even if on your side you can make peace with it, make peace with yourself, and you know, operate from the heart with compassion, understanding that obviously no matter what they did, you know, at a higher level, they probably didn't want to do that. They chose that path in this time, but. You know, the way I look at it is like, I always just try to find the benefit for me. And I always try to help that with my clients. No matter what goes on around you, you try to find the benefit for you and go through that. But before your parents die, if you can just tell them that you love them and get through that point and give them complete gratitude for their life and compassion, that's really healing for you. It's really important. And I think that's really awesome that you were able to do that. And I think it's important as a collective society that we do this, because the more people like you that have done this, that have broken that chain of abuse and neglect and fear and worry and all this stuff, this conditioning, you've just set your three boys on a potentially a whole different path of life. Right. And now they operate from a different frequency. So instead of, you see, you were the catalyst. And so as we have the power to change the world, as we change ourselves, that's what Brent just did. And I think that's so cool, and I want to applaud you for it, and because we need a lot more in that. And you set a good example, and I'm glad that you have your podcast, the Gravity Podcast, and that you're out there hustling, interviewing other people that have been through similar things, that have done that, and giving more examples to people out there that might have not been through it or even have the awareness that this type of stuff is possible and that they can make peace with their family and themselves. So thank you, sir. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Turmeric has been used for thousands of years all across India and Southeast Asia, and is one of the best anti-inflammatory compounds on Earth. Now you can get these incredible benefits with the new chemical-free body Turmeric 100 Liquid Drops. This ethically sourced breakthrough solution absorbs over 100 times better than regular turmeric products, eliminating the need to add black pepper. Turmeric 100 helps against inflammation and pain, and is made with the same chemical-free body promise. No stimulants, 100% natural, and always made in the USA. Get yours today at chemicalfreebody.com.
What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here. I'm back with Brett Kaufman, the Gravity Podcast. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this before we get into the podcast, Brett? I know you do a little bit of real estate stuff. In fact, one thing that was sparked my interest was you had this idea of building a community building, not just some place to collect some rents and get a good ROI, return on investment. So Tell us about your project.
Yeah, so I started Kaufman Development back in 2011 with this idea that we could, as you said, build community in a way that would be different than the traditional multifamily apartment project. I really wanted to bring all the things that I was passionate about in my life into my work. And I felt like the things that I had struggled to find easy access to in my life, if I could figure out how to bring those things easily, more accessibly to other people where they lived, that I could really try to make a difference in the communities that we were building. And if we could scale that, you know, we could try to make a difference in the world. And so, we started building, you know, what we now call conscious communities. Focused on things like well-being, creative expression, nature, transformation, philanthropy, you know, impact, et cetera. And so, we now, you know, have been at that for 13 years. We've built, you know, over $1 billion worth of real estate. We currently are building the Gravity Project, which is on its third phase now, but it's a neighborhood here in Columbus that's about 15 acres of urban infill mixed-use development, and it's the world's largest conscious community. And you know what that means is we're building places for people to live and to work and to play, but more importantly, we're providing experiences. We're bringing in speakers, we're doing classes, connects, opportunities for people to find that easy access to all the things that they're passionate about that hopefully will enhance their lives, allow them to connect to other like-minded people, to collaborate, and to really go out and in a way that allows them to make a big difference in their world.
So it's not like, you know, one of the problems I see in the infrastructure of a lot of these inner cities is like there's no access to nature. Mm-hmm. The only thing they have access to is like convenience stores and liquor stores. So, of course, it's a problem. You're actually bringing education into the community. So how does this, what does it look like? I mean, like if you go into to this Gravity Project, is there like a stream flowing through it? Is there fields and parks and gardens? And are you teaching gardening? I mean, what is there centers, community centers where people gather, and you're actually bringing speakers in with an agenda every month? What's going on?
Yeah. So we do have a product, a concept that's called Greenhouse that is focused on nature as one of the elements of that community. All of our communities currently are in urban infill settings. So they are inside the core of the city. So they don't have immediate access to nature, but what we're doing is we're trying to simulate that to give people a respite from that urban world. So you walk in and it's greenery everywhere. There's scents and sounds. And, you know, this simulated environment that hopefully helps your nervous system just relax from the second that you walk in the building. But then the amenities are also all focused around wellness. So it's cold plunges and saunas and treatment rooms and yoga studios and meditation pods. And so it does really give you, you know, a sense of feeling like you are, you know, again, getting this kind of retreat or respite from the urban environment. The Gravity Project as a whole is kind of constantly being programmed, not just in the amenities that are also supportive to all of those things I just mentioned at Greenhouse, but there's probably 3 to 4 events a week that range from sound baths to tech meetups to artists in residence and opportunities for people to be creative, philanthropic opportunities throughout the community on a regular basis. So it's sort of trying to meet people where they are and whatever it is that kind of moves them. Some people are interested in going to the Transcendental Meditation Center, which is inside of our community. And some people want to, you know, focus on their business or their relationships. And so we're trying to bring content to them pretty much daily that hopefully connects and, you know, shifts them in some positive way.
Well, you had me at sound baths. I love those things. Do they have a gong there?
No, we don't have a gong in house, but yeah, we're doing regular sound baths. We have a pretty good scene here in Columbus of great practitioners.
They got the bowls and stuff, the singing bowls.
They got the bowls, yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, I'm gonna put a thing in the to-do box. Get a gong, man. Those things are awesome.
Yeah, all right.
It goes with the gravity. It'll be the gravity gong. So get somebody to donate it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, there was a place in New York called The Assemblage that I was lucky enough to speak at a while back, and I do some public speaking, and they had a big gong as I entered into their building that kind of grounded everybody. So maybe we'll replicate that here.
Yeah, that's cool. Maybe I'll donate that to the building, and then I can do virtual talks or something. I'd love to do that, man.
Sure.
We could do health talks, get them detoxing.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really neat, really, really neat place. I like all the meditation pods, and you have a transcendental meditation room. Like, so are these all these services just like part of being in the community, or do they have to, is it like a membership to be a part of certain things? How does that work?
Yeah, it's just offered to the residents and the occupants, the people that live and work in our communities. It's just baked into to, you know, being a part of the community. Now we do offer some events that are open to the public, and some of those are ticketed. You know, if we bring in a speaker from outside and it's a, you know, big event where it's open to the public, you know, we'll ticket that to cover some of the costs. But yeah, everything is free to the residents.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, this is what I envision things going back to, and I know that, you know, when we came out of, you know, caves and stuff like that, and you know, being that we don't really run that fast, we don't have big teeth or claws, that, you know, for us to stay alive in nature, we had to be tribal, we had to come together. So it's kind of baked in to our DNA for longevity and health and happiness that we're together and we work together. And for me, I think that the most important thing is that every individual is doing what excites them, what brings them joy and what brings them passion. And whatever they do is just as valuable as what somebody else is doing, and working back into that. So I feel like this community that you're creating is, you know, because we've gotten into this crazy, like these dirty, high tech, dirty cities and stuff like that. And it looks like now you're kind of morphing them back into, so it's more peaceful and there's less stress, because stress is killing us. And I mean, even the medical community is saying that stress has taken 17 years off of a life. And it's not just that, it's the quality of life. And I know, being in the coaching advisor for, you know, for years now, that stress is one of the big three besides toxins and, you know, and the deficiency in nutrients. So I think that's cool. So you have like bird sounds and stuff and waterfall, like creek sounds when you're walking into buildings and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Gravity Project So we have a greenhouse which is within the Gravity neighborhood. Greenhouse also stands by itself, and it is really the one that's more focused on the nature aspect of things, where you're going to hear those sounds and you're going to see that greenery and you're going to have the waterfalls and that kind of thing. Gravity is a little bit more of a eclectic product type. So there you're going to see a lot more murals and art and placemaking and other things that are going to hopefully inspire people from a creative standpoint. We've brought in muralists from around the world to paint all over our project, literally. And so, I think what you said, earlier about the cave, thing, and even I was thinking about this as we were talking about, making peace with family members. There's not one way to do this. What we're trying to do is present a lot of options for people to find what resonates with them. Some people might be interested in sound baths, and some people really want nature. Some people thrive on the energy of a city and the kind of, vibe of that electricity. So, we're just trying to meet people where they are and just be, a support system to allow them to grow in whatever feels authentic to them. For me, making peace with my father felt like the right thing for me. It doesn't mean that that's always the answer. There are some family dynamics, there are some situations where maybe, peace isn't an option. You said it earlier, can you make peace with yourself? That's probably the most important thing. Can you find something that lights you up, that feels energizing to you? That's really what I think everybody, hopefully can find for themselves.
Oh man. Do you live in one of your, where do you live at? Do you live in one of your structures?
No, I don't. I live in a suburb here in Columbus. For now, that's where I've been raising my kids and where they've grown up and gone to school. But we're about to empty nest, so we might be headed downtown and become a true resident of the community.
So in these communities, are these all rentals, or do you sell them out, or is it a mixture?
They're all rentals currently, but we're also talking about doing some for sale product now too as a part of the community. But currently they're all for rent.
Okay. And then I guess my question is, I would imagine that there would be a long waiting list for people just waiting for a spot to open up, because these places are so different. I mean, the word's got to be out, right? This is like kind of a special thing going on.
Yeah, word's out. People are resonating with it. I think it's one of those things that you might typically see in a California or Austin kind of neighborhood, but that's sort of the beauty of being in a city like Columbus, is there's actually a huge demand for this kind of living, this kind of a community. And there's not a lot of people that are doing it. So, we've had a lot of success and, continue to grow, and just love seeing it being well received.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would imagine that there's very low vacancy rate at all. Nobody wants to leave. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, prior to me starting my company, I spent 15 years kind of learning the fundamentals of real estate. So, one of the mistakes I think people make when I hear these big, aspirational future city kind of products is, you got to ground it in something that works, something that has, strong fundamentals. And so we've tried to do that every step of the way and continue to push the envelope with each project, but make sure that the fundamentals are there too. So in order to have, high occupancies, you got to have quality product. It's got to be constructed well. It has to be managed well. It has to be the right floor plan. There's a lot that goes into real estate, and, we've been fortunate enough to be able to kind of pull those passion pieces and the fundamentals together to get these projects to work.
I think somebody would be a good guest on your podcast is my buddy Andy, Andrew Pace. He owns the Green Design Center, and they do all non-toxic building materials. He was like one of the original OGs on LEED certified architecture.
Mm-hmm.
But
Okay.
he was on the board of directors, and he ended up walking away from it because he's like, I had him on my show a long time ago, but he's like, he goes, it really wasn't about health, and it was this under this sustainability concept where they like take some tires, grind them up, and make a floor out of them. Yet a woman would walk in with the sensitivity, and it's off gassing like crazy, and people were getting asphyxiated and had to leave. So how is that sustainable? It was like just recycling some toxic crap and making it into a building. I mean, they got high credit for using that material for the floor, so it became LEED certified. So he couldn't take it anymore, and he walked away from that. But the greendesigncenter.com, Andrew Pace, I think would be a really good somebody to know, and what the space that you're doing and all the cool things that you're creating with
Yeah, great. Yeah,
non-toxic
love to
building
connect with
materials.
them.
And he's a heart-centered guy too, and I think he's in the Midwest there. I don't think he's that far away from me. Who knows, he
Okay.
might even be in Ohio. I think he's
All right.
he's around there somewhere.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, we'll have to connect.
Yeah, he's a cool person. Okay, so was there anything else about the real estate that's unique that you like, or what's your favorite part of what you've created?
It's a good question. I think, I'm really excited about what we're doing with the transformation program that we're building out at Greenhouse. I don't think I mentioned that really, but we've built a tiny habit transformation program where every resident that moves in has the option if they'd like. It's free, it's included in their rent, but they'll get a WHOOP. They'll go into a group, and every month collectively they'll work on a habit, which could be hydration, sleep, gratitude, journaling, cold, heat therapy, light, nature, service. There's a kind of a monthly program that we've built out, and yeah, we're really excited to get people in that program and just get their foot in the door on this transformational path, and do that collectively as a community. That to me is really exciting, and what we're trying to do with things like the podcast and other events and programs and content that we're creating. We're filming a documentary about the project. Is we're trying to take the physical community and also build a virtual community and scale both at the same time to really give people, again, many options to kind of get their foot in the door and get down the path of transformation.
How many p people are involved with wearing the Whoop bands and taking advantage of that?
Yeah, well, we're getting ready to open the first Greenhouse community next month, and that's 155 apartments. So, there's a lot of two bedroom, three bedrooms in there. So, that'll be a couple hundred people when we're all, filled up that, have the option to participate. Our second Greenhouse project, which is located within the Gravity neighborhood, is under construction now. That's 320 apartments. So, that'll be another 500 people. So, we're hoping to really start to scale that product type into other markets too, through acquiring existing assets and then bringing the content and the amenities to those. So yeah, we're really hoping, this is something that we can scale.
Well, this is just fantastic. It's usually like slumlords. Just you got these, you have there's a lot of people that own these buildings and stuff. They have people managing it for them, and it's just like pay your rent, or get out if you don't pay. And I can't even believe that. I mean, I hope the listeners get the gravity of this, of what's just been said in rent, where you actually have a landlord who is incentivizing you with an accountability, giving you a Whoop band. I have one on my arm right now. It tracks your sleep and your heartbeat and a whole bunch of stuff and your movement and all that. And to have that be included in your rent, where people could participate and work on a life skill and work, you mentioned drinking water and taking saunas, and this is the stuff that I preach 24/7. I can't even believe this is happening. I mean, this is a very unique thing, and that tells me, like I said, when I saw your, I saw you online. I could tell that you're leading your life from your heart, you know, because, you know, I would imagine right now
Yeah.
if financially that's not an issue for you anymore. But man, it's really cool because you're really making a difference in people's lives and giving them these gifts that they a lot of people just don't have the awareness and they don't have the access.
Yeah, you know, I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. You know, the access is a big thing. You know, a lot of these modalities, especially, you know, when early on, they're really expensive and they're hard to come by. And even if there's places where you can go, you know, there's the what's it called? Restores of the world, you know, the float tank places, things like that. It's not convenient for everybody. It's hard to even things like volunteering. I truly believe that you know, people want to give back. But when it becomes like this, like bureaucratic, like a lot of red tape just to figure out how you can volunteer somewhere and everybody's, you know, kind of short-staffed and they don't return your phone calls or, you know, they're like, here, do something. You know, it's not accessible, it's not approachable. And so, you know, we're trying to just bring it right to their doorstep, you know, take some of that friction away and really allow people to easily access the things that they truly do want to have and do in their lives. And you know, for me, it's been all of these things have been massively impactful in my own life. And so, you know, as I see things that have helped me process, heal, shift, transform, you know, why would I not want to share that with other people? You know, you're right. I mean, it's not about the money at a certain point. You know, I'm almost 49 years old, and you start to really think about, you know, how do you want to spend your life? What really matters? And yes, you know, money is nice. It does allow for me to do a lot of things that are pleasurable, enjoyable, and supportive of others. But you know, really day to day, you know, building these communities and having the potential to make a difference in someone else's life, you know, that's really what gets me out of bed every morning.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys are like the new AA. It's the awareness and accessibility. Getting people out. They've been
I'll
drunk
take it.
on the old ways of life.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's early in the morning. That's what happens when you end up when you're a caregiver. You have to take care and you put them as a priority. It's like you did with your children, you know. Now your parents need the help that they gave you when you were a You know, when you were a little baby, you were kind of helpless. And so, well, cool. So the last thing I want to wrap up with is the Gravity Podcast. So how did that get started? And it sounds like you've been doing it for a while. Do you release it weekly?
Yeah, we put up an episode every month. For the most part, it's been weekly for the last few years, almost 4 years now. I think we're approaching 200 episodes. Yeah, you know, what that kind of came out of is just this passion that I have for being in deep conversation with like-minded human beings and having like a tremendous curiosity about their journey in life and wanting to, you know, really learn from that and see myself in it and see what I could take away from it and see how I could, you know, potentially be supportive to someone else. And, you know, I would just have coffee with people and I'd find myself in these conversations and, you know, really energized by them. And then, you know, kind of learning about podcasts and thinking, you know, creatively, it would be a challenge for me to put myself out there, to be a little bit more vulnerable, to have these deep conversations shared with others. So I started a podcast and yeah, it's been a ton of fun. You know, we really focus on the full life journey. We started early childhood and really walk through, connect all the dots, you know, tug on the threads of the human journey. And you know, land at the end on what people are up to and talk a little bit about, you know, their work. But the focus is really on the path to it in hopes that other people can see themselves in that. You know, what I think a lot of times happens is you look at successful people And people don't identify with it. They don't see themselves in it. And in reality, you know, most of the time we're all just the same, you know. And so, you know, I try to normalize the experience and really hopefully give people, you know, some insight and some inspiration to take away and integrate into their own lives.
Well, that's really cool. Awesome stuff. Well, I think if anybody's listening, if you are looking for a place to live, and I you know, they got sound baths, so you should probably move and get on Brett's waiting list for these new communities, especially these greenhouse ones that he's getting ready to launch. And the best place for people to find you, Brett?
Yeah, brettkaufman.com or livekaufman.com. Those are our that's my site and the company site, gravityproject.com specifically for the Gravity Project. But yeah, you can find me out there on all the socials and yeah, love to continue to stay in touch and have you on my show. And yeah, thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to contribute to the community. It totally resonates with me. I'd love to be a part of it. I love what you're doing. So you guys can find him. We'll put it in the show notes, but it's brettkaufman.com. BrettKaufman, brettkaufman.com. And that's where you can also on the right there, you can find his Gravity podcast. You can tune in if you want to listen to the great guests that he's had on, those deep conversations. And I think our listeners will resonate with what you got going on. You got a great website. Everything looks good. Love what you're doing. And I really appreciate you leading a heart-centered life and being an example for more men and more people, and giving back to others. It's like, if we all just do this, it's over. We're, you know, that heaven on earth type thing, it will show itself again. We have it here. It's all inside of us, and we just have to just take action and have that awareness and access, and then take action. So I guess it's AAA. You're the new AAA.
Well,
Awareness,
thanks, Tim.
access, and action.
I like it. I like it. But I agree with you. You know, it's heaven on earth. You know, it's just gotta see it and embrace it, embody it, and share it. So,
Yeah.
thanks for what you're doing.
I appreciate it. And as my listeners know, I've got plans for this, for your buildings and stuff and all your people. It's like, I want to help them infuse themselves with green juices and sprouts. So we'll bring nature into every single apartment. We'll show them how, 'cause I'm a big sprouter. So, all right.
All
Well,
right, cool. Let's do it. We'll have you
I
here.
want to th thank you so much, Brett. And I want to thank all the listeners around the world for tuning in. If it wasn't for you guys, me and Brett be just sitting here talking to ourselves. So we thank you for tuning in. I hope that you this podcast resonated with you. If you liked it, please share, subscribe, and until next time, change yourself, change your world, and I'll see you again soon. Bye for now. Thanks for listening again to the Health Hero Show. I'm your host, Tim James, and remember, change yourself, change your world, and we'll see you again on the next episode. Talk to you soon.
You have just listened to the Health Hero Show with Tim James.